Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal What's happening, dude?
Shit, what's going on, Pete?
Here, dude,
it's thing on Tuesday, but it's Monday.
It is. It's a weird week, for sure.
Yeah, definitely a weird week.
We're doing this on Monday because my granddaughter, Alex, is turning 10 tomorrow and wanted to have a little get-together for her.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And she's going to be moving, not this weekend, but next weekend to North Carolina, so I definitely didn't want to miss that.
Definitely not.
So it worked out good. But yeah, it is weird doing this on a Monday. But luckily it's not football season, because that could have been a problem.
Oh, that could have been a huge problem, man. Fuck. That would have been.
I know both of us like to watch football, right. So yeah, we have to change. That's probably why we started doing this on Tuesday.
I think it is. Like, you know,
to avoid that.
Football's going to be coming soon.
Not on Thursday, not on Monday, not on Sunday.
Nope.
But this time, dude, we're doing one. We've laughed about this motherfucker before, going north.
A stinky bastard.
Very stinky motherfucker, man. Some fucking Willie Picton, man.
Robert Willie Picton.
So that'll be fun. Now, last week, we had a good one with Texas 7, man. I really liked the way that turned out.
Especially having Joey in here and your homeboy Tex in here.
Yeah, Joey and Tex, you and I. I mean, it was a great conversation. I thought, Tex being from the Texas Department of Criminal Justice would shed some light on that subject, because obviously he knows all about it.
Obviously, yeah.
And he's in Texas, so that was just really cool. An old Army buddy of mine. And he'll be on future shows. We've already talked to him about
discussions
getting on
with
some
him about
other
getting
stuff.
On here.
We got a couple on the list that... are definitely right up his alley.
Right.
Some people don't realize, we've got this scheduled out, a few months out.
Right. We got
so
a
many
list to
moving
go.
Parts to put these shows together with people we're going to have on and making sure we get shit done before and giving us time to read or listen or whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
Lot happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we had... a lot of listens to that one, just under 1,000. I'm sure it'll break 1,000 this week, because that's usually what happens. People listen to the new one and they listen to the last few. We see a spike in the listens to the episode before it and even the one before that. As a matter of fact, the Chikatilo episode is within like 10 of Carla Faye to move into number 10. So that's an interesting. People seem to like that one. CK was on talking some Las Rockets. Joey was all about that.
Those
two had talked about it for a while, so that was cool that happened. And then we did that piece of that Brian Ward interview, the Killer Cage match. I love
Brian
that.
It was fun, dude.
I love that. Tonight, though, we're going old school Killer Cage match, which would be fun. Speaking of Brian Ward of the Dark History and Horror Convention, we just posted that bonus episode today.
Yes, go listen to that.
56 minutes.
Great fucking interview.
Yeah, I really liked the way that one turned out too, man. It was just cool. Brian's a great guy. Talked a lot about just, what makes him do the con and what he likes about horror, what he doesn't like.
Right, horror and true crime and shit like
that.
Yeah,
he's all about the mobsters and serial killers, which is really cool. And he's a... works in a prison or a jail. So, I mean, another perfect person to talk to about that.
Well, here's what's happening.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. But if you missed that, it's a standalone episode, bonus content of our interview with Brian Ward of the Dark History and Horror Convention. So we are going to do Willie Picton tonight. It's going to be a good one. We've laughed about this guy before.
Farmer.
He is a sick motherfucker. 49 women they suspect of in Vancouver, British Columbia, which of course is in Canada. Who's a third generation pig farmer? I saw that too.
And I've always said, I've heard people say, be wary of anyone who owns a pig farm because
they can get rid of some shit.
Yeah, they can get rid of some shit.
And so that's exactly what they think he did. Fed his victims to his pigs, and whatever you know else they had left over, they took to the rendering plant
and just mash it up,
made it go away. So they render inedible parts of the dead animals. So he had quite a system, you know, with this processing and stuff out there. Yeah. So
as you'll find out.
Yeah. Could you imagine buying anything from that motherfucker? Just all nasty from and stinky.
Hell no,
I mean,
dude.
Fuck no. Especially food. Ugh. I don't fucking think so, man.
No, dude.
I don't care.
Vile.
Even if he was doing it legit, I wouldn't want.
Yeah, dude is fucking vile.
Stanky fucking body anywhere near my food. So it's going to be gruesome for sure. We're going to have a part of our interview we did with Dr. Peter Vronsky because he talked about Picton
with
us.
Yes, he did.
So we'll play that. Now, CK is not going to be here tonight, man. Kind of a bummer. Last-minute situation. He was admitted to the hospital last night after having some serious complications. A poor bastard with his cancer treatment, and he
always
just can't get
man.
A break, man.
No, just can't. Always fighting something, but he always seems to prevail.
He does, man. He's just a tough son of a bitch. And we, of course, wish him a speedy recovery. And we'll talk a little bit more about this in the metal segment. Definitely won't be the same.
No.
Without the great metal motherfucker.
No.
But we'll do our best, man. We got a few things to put out, and we will. But we're not going to do the feature, which is what CK is going to do next week on Judas Priest, like he was going to do.
This week, yeah.
This week. So, got another great Killer Cage match, thanks to some listeners here, Chris. We got a few that put in some numbers.
Yep. Barb Martin, Stacy Dudley, and Eric Sisko. They gave us all the random numbers for the fight tonight, and we got a pretty odd, pretty crazy fucking matchup.
I know, I was laughing when I saw how this one came up, but we got the Menendez brothers, so the both of them going up against
Carl Panzram's brutal ass.
Wow. Boys, I hope you're prepared to be sodomized.
Yeah, I hope you're ready to
get. You're going to get butt-fucked and killed.
That's his fucking favorite thing to do.
It is, man. All about it. So those boys are going to get torn the fuck up. Maybe the objects this week will help the brothers out and avoid from being Panzram's fuck dolls.
Who knows?
I don't know. Huge thanks to all you guys out there listening to Murder Metal Mayhem. We've fucking been destroying it. As we talked about last couple weeks, we passed 100,000 listens. We passed 3,000 listens in 1 week, which is a top for us.
Yeah, that's a new deal for us. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really great. Top 10 countries listening. U.S., Canada, and the U.K. have dominated the three spots for a while in that order. But now, you know, we see countries kind of jump in. But Portugal, Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, Peru, Switzerland, and Slovakia. So they might have heard that Vlad the Impaler episode maybe in Slovakia, and we're like,
maybe
fuck yeah.
Like, hey, yeah, all right, let's
represent our
shit
fucking
out.
Homie. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Top cities listening, of course, Chicago, Chris, man. Just
always number one.
Thank you guys up in Chicago, the Windy City. followed, of course, by our hometown here, Bloomington, Illinois. So thanks all the local people listening. Columbus, Ohio. Been crushing it. I mean, crushing it, number three.
No shit.
Danbury, yeah. Connecticut, where CK is, of course. Denver, Colorado. San Jose, California. Dover Plains, New York. And then we got some Canadian, Calgary, Alberta, and Winnipeg, Manitoba. And Rogers, Minnesota is pretty up, up
fuck
there
yeah.
near Canada, too. So we're getting some northern
Canada,
love, man.
Canada folks, we're talking about one of your guys
tonight.
That's
right.
So.
That is funny that we picked Picton to do tonight with all this Canadian love going on
Canada.
Here. So we got a last-minute ad, though, dude, this one.
Yep. Pogo's Party Fun.
Yeah, that
they've
was a good one.
Sponsored before, but
they have.
Throwing him in here again. And,
yeah, why not?
Good times.
Thanks, guys. So, Chris, we got a lot to talk about here tonight. I mean, I know you're ready to tear it the fuck up.
Let's fucking do it, man. Let's get our fucking murder on. It's getting smelly in here. Fucking damn. Devourment. Killing, dude. Fed to the pigs.
Fed to the pigs. All about who we're going to be talking about.
All about old Robbie.
Oh, yes. Robbie. Willie. Robbie Willie Picton. We'll call him Willie Picton. But yeah, his real name, of course, Robert. But he's a fucking stinky pig farmer from Vancouver.
Like, literally stinky.
Yeah. Convicted in 2007 of killing six women and getting rid of the bodies by feeding them to his pigs and getting rid of the rest at a local rendering plant. He admitted to an informant wearing a wire while he was in prison or jail that he was going for an even 50.
One away, buddy. One away. Sorry, like chessboard. Didn't quite make it, buddy.
Right? I thought the same thing, that he got dissed just like the chessboard.
Right.
Most people believe, you know, that he killed 49 women. A gruesome tale of serial murder in Canada. So
throughout a decent stretch of fucking time, too.
Yeah. Yeah, this dude's fucked up, and it's amazing he's not more known. We talk about that, how weird it is, how selective, you know, like the we did Cottingham, you know, around the time of Son of Sam. So there you go.
Yep.
I don't know what was overshadowing this, because, my God, that this is fucking that was harsh.
A guy, that was a guy they think might have crossed over into Canada. Motherfucker, Green River, fucking.
Oh, Ridgeway, yeah.
Ridgeway, yeah, wasn't it Ridgeway? They thought he was fucking going into Canada.
I'm not sure about Ridgeway. I know that Nelson, the one that we've got on the list, Earl Nelson, he did cross over and they caught him in Canada. Not sure offhand though about Ridgeway. It's very possible being up there in Washington,
right?
But Picton was born in 1949 in Port Coquitlam. I was hoping I wasn't going to completely fuck that up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Port Coquitlam, British Columbia. Of course, that's up in Canada, 17 miles east of Vancouver. He had a brother and sister, but his father sent the sister off to live with some relatives.
Probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing. He said a girl shouldn't be raised on a pig farm. So.
Not that one for sure.
Yeah. Right. So damn. Sent her packing. I'm sure it broke her heart to have to leave that fucking disgusting place. And his brother and him got teased a lot from the other kids for being all smelly all the time. So.
Right, like straight up said, they smelled like freaking pigs constantly, and they were dirty as fuck all the time. Right. Like nasty dirty.
Yeah, I mean, kids can be cruel, but I mean, I can't imagine how bad these two must have smelled.
Man. It's like fucking a sadistic fucking, what's his name, from Peanuts or whatever.
Oh, Pigpen?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Pigpen probably smells like fucking Febreze around right? These motherfuckers.
No shit.
Now, I did hear a few random things about Picton's childhood. One was that his dad was absent for much of it, and his chores at the farm were split between Willie and the brother. So the dad was gone.
Yeah, mom kind of ran everything. Like,
yeah.
You listen to mom.
Right. And I also heard she would hose him down to wash him when he was little. And apparently that's why he did not like taking showers. So,
like, never took a fucking shower.
He would take a bath like when he probably couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah, but who fucking knows? I mean, by then you're probably so fucking used to it that you just can't tell anyway.
Yeah, that's just nasty.
You live in the squalor constantly. So.
Right, right. What's funny, too, is they got all that money and he could have just left. Like, why would you stay
there,
on the big farm? He must have really fucking loved it, man.
He loved his side project, apparently.
Probably. So pretty much everyone who said anything at all about Willie Picton said he was a horribly stinky motherfucker, smelled like piss, shit, nasty body odor, just gross. Yeah. I can't imagine, dude, working on a pig farm and not wanting to take at least one shower a day.
Dude, like,
I'd be taking like three or four if I could.
Like back in the day, fucking Meister's dad had a pig farm and we'd go out and fucking help and shit, dude. Yeah, that's the first thing you fucking do when you get done with that shit. You take a goddamn shower, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was on a hog farm. I don't know if I told that story in a mayhem one time. I had to go there for work. But, oh, yeah, with the dude, the rats were coming into the ceiling. Oh, yeah, yeah. And that was stinky, but they hadn't been there for like a year or two. So I can't imagine an active hog generation farm would be really hog gross. Farm.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I saw a video of him being interrogated by the police during that whole thing with him stabbing the prostitute.
Dude, he was
Did you
dirty.
See his hands,
yeah,
dude?
Like he's like this and like. For real, looked like a freaking garden before you planted. It was black.
Yeah. Dirt it looked black. Was like planting in a garden or changed his oil and had no towel.
Or swimming in pig shit.
Disgusting, man. So he just permanently fucking gross, man. So definitely pretty nasty. I think I could smell him through the screen. So
right.
That felt
you know
like
how
I
you
could.
Can't, they say you can't see a, you can't smell a picture. Look at a picture of Robert Picton. I bet you could fucking smell it.
Yeah, big time. Now, one of the docs I watched, Willie and his brother would skip school a lot and stay and work on the farm. And I can't imagine that the pigs were better than going to school, but I guess to them it was.
I guess.
I heard somebody had said that it was a really creepy-looking place and that Picton was a pretty quiet, you know, guy, kind of kept to himself, so...
Right.
Nothing really bad about the guy that I heard of, at least in his early days. You
just
know?
A kid on fucking hick ass pig farm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he did. He liked doing it. Kind of was just kind of a loner, kept to himself. When Willie's parents died, he and the siblings, the brother and the sister, inherit the farm. And it's worth fucking millions, man.
Yeah, that's
just land alone.
That was the crazy part. Like, he was literally a millionaire and shit.
Oh, yeah. Now, Port Coquilliam is like about 50,000 people. So it's a pretty decent sized city where he was from.
Right.
But he was on the outskirts
on
that farm.
Town, yeah.
So this would have been a very, very valuable piece of land as the town was or the city was moving
expanding.
That way.
Yeah.
So he just perfect timing. You know, they sold it. But what's funny is he wanted to keep a few acres to live on himself.
And he's just, could you imagine
stay that? In that nasty trailer?
And you're getting all this shit going, building up around it and shit.
Right?
And fucking just, that'd be fucked, dude.
Now, what I thought was funny was I thought on one of the documentaries I watched said that there was a Walmart going in. And I'm thinking, how the fuck's Walmart going to want to be next to that?
Exactly.
Unless they thought they'd be able to buy him out. I don't know. I mean, that was only one source, so I have no idea if it was wrong. But it seems to me that that's
right.
Kind of odd.
Growing up in the country, like there'd be like cow and pig farms like mile or so, a couple miles down the road. And if the wind's blowing the right direction, that shit straight come to my house from a couple miles down the road. Could you imagine being right fucking next to it?
Right. Yeah, that would be gross. I could not imagine that. And so I found that hard to believe, but that's what I had seen on one of the documentaries. So with his newfound money, he starts finding out he could pay women to have sex with him.
Even that.
Because they didn't want anything to do with him. But these nasty fucking prostitutes in Vancouver.
It's hard
sound
up for money
pretty
and drugs.
Fucking rough, man. Pretty fucking rough. So a hooker from the nasty side of town was about the best he could do. They say the east side of downtown Vancouver was supposed to be so bad. Hookers, fucking bums, drug addicts. I even saw there's some drunken
Shawbacks
hanging
nice.
Around. There. And it was dubbed the Four Blocks of Hell. So pretty fucking nasty. But I don't think you guys would be hanging out.
Never been to Canada.
There is quite a bit of media coverage about this problem in Vancouver. So there was quite a bit of attention it was getting because of how bad this area was. So I don't know if it's still like that, but at that time when he was doing his thing.
Pretty fucked up.
It was. And he was going down there. And, of course, he had money. He had drugs, alcohol, whatever. So he
Even
was
though
able
he
to
was
lure.
Sober.
these people.
Yeah, even though he was sober, he didn't drink, do drugs or anything, like barely, didn't drink or do drugs, but he'd go out and find them.
Right.
And saying, like, he was cleaning the streets up or some shit like that.
Right, right. Now, of course, we've heard this stories before, you know, about disappearing prostitutes and drug addicts not getting the same attention from the media and the cops. Not to mention that usually friends and family wouldn't even know that they were missing. You know, they haven't heard from them in years, months, whatever. Yeah,
already haven't heard from them, so.
Yeah. So the perfect victims for Willie Picton.
Yeah, people being like the prostitutes and drug addicts on that side of town, the cops would just, like, shove it under the carpet or whatever.
Yeah, don't want to fuck with it. Now, we had our recent interview with Dr. Peter Vronsky. That was really awesome. We've been playing little bits of that as we do different topics because we asked them so many questions. And so we found a couple of minutes of that of we're talking about Picton.
About Picton, yeah.
So we'll play that for you. So check this out, Dr. Peter Vronsky. Some people may not realize Canada's had her fair share of serial killers. We've got a feature coming up on Robert Picton, the pig farmer from Vancouver. What do you want to, anything you'd like to chime in on Picton?
Well, Picton, of course, is a highly political case. As you know, there is this question of missing Aboriginal women in Canada. And many of his victims were, of course, marginalized Aboriginal women. This was occurring kind of in the vicinity of the infamous Highway of Tears, where a lot of Aboriginal women disappear along that highway route. And so Picton, of course, as well for a very high number of victims comparatively, even by American standards. I think he's convicted for 49. He kind of spoke as to, wanting to, he just fell short of 50 and so forth. But, and of course, just this idea of, he was very wealthy. He kind of inherited all this family money on top of that.
Right.
But he was a little wild and woolly at the same time, kind of hanging out on the margins of society. There were all these drifters on his property. And, of course, this idea that he fed his victims' remains to his pigs I think the twisted part of this story.
Yeah, sure. It definitely adds a darkness to that story, macabre. For sure. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, Dr. Vronsky's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's really interesting, and he talks about, that whole Highway of Tears and all that shit. Pretty intense stuff. Like I was saying earlier, man, it's like almost the whole episode you could literally
just on the Highway of Tears,
that.
For sure.
So we hope you guys like that clip. Now, in 1996, Willie began to neglect the property with all his newfound fun in Vancouver and all the killing that was going on. So he's starting to host these parties, man. He's,
big old parties, fucking.
And I'm just wondering, who in the fuck is going to a party with this motherfucker unless you are so desperate to get fucked up?
Right.
And you don't care. And
you don't.
Like,
and they said it was like Hell's Angels and shit, too, like I was saying and shit.
Right.
And like the hookers, they're just like, fuck it, this guy's got money. He's going to pay for everything. Fucking, I got to make money.
I mean, it was a bunch of drug addicts are not going to, you're not going to be able to beat them off with a stick if you're offering free drugs.
No.
And all these prostitutes with cash flying around.
Did I miss the free crack 5 o'clock getaway?
So it's just 16 miles in the middle of fucking nowhere, junk cars, scrap metal, all these fucking pigs. These fucking people had to be nasty.
There was that one fucking pig that he just let, it was some big hog or whatever, he just let it run around chasing people and shit,
I did see that.
What the fuck, man? Like, big ass fucking hog just chasing people around. It was mean.
Yeah, those things are fucking nasty, man. Now, I thought this was great. Picton founded a nonprofit charity, and he called it what, Chris?
The Piggy Palace Good Time Society. Sounds just like the place I want to go to.
Dude, there's got to be a T-shirt with that on it, dude.
If not, I'm sure we could get some.
That's right. What the fuck with that name? So, like, this is going to be a legit charity he's claiming for to the government that he's organizing events and dances for service organizations, sports, and other worthy groups. What the fuck kind of events are you going to have out there, man?
Take your kid's freaking Little League team to an event out there? I don't think so.
Mommy, what are they doing over there? That's called freebasing, son. Don't worry about it.
You know, kind of like when you get four balls, you get a free base. They're freebasing over there.
So apparently these events they're having were actually raves featuring wild parties and hookers from Vancouver. And I got to love this, in a converted slaughterhouse.
That's fucking so awesome.
On the farm. Some of these parties have set up to almost 2,000 people at them. 2,000 fucking people.
That's
on the big
crazy
farm.
Man.
It's crazy. Known criminals, drug addicts, you know, just hanging out at the Piggy Palace. Now, as fucked up as this whole place was, though, dude, how cool would that have been to have a fucking metal, like
fucking
a death metal or
grind show,
the fucking Piggy Palace? Are you kidding me?
If you need a vocalist, you got pigs. There's your vocals right there.
Right. That's what I thought, too. You have that in the background. And I mean, if they're not doing that, I mean, what the fuck are they playing? Some Canadian, like, Helix, April Wine, or fucking Chris DeBerg? I don't know, but... You know,
I don't even know who Chris DeBerg is.
That's the Don't Pay the Ferryman. Uh-huh. Don't you remember that from the Trailer Park Boys? Yeah. The security guard. He's like, and I had to leave the encore of Chris DeBerg singing Don't Pay the Ferryman.
That's fucking great.
Because they were calling him about the shopping carts.
Right.
So yeah, I threw in a little Chris DeBerg. All right, so Picton is charged with attempted murder now in 97, Chris. He's getting a little crazy.
Hell yeah, got that one prostitute, had sex with her, and then when she turned around, fucking goes to, you got like one handcuff on her, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then she found a knife, fucking stabbed his ass.
Right.
Fucking
so pretty
bad.
So they stabbed each other.
Yeah, and then he ends up stabbing her, like cuts her so bad, her like entrails are half hanging out.
Right.
But she got out and started running.
What's crazy is they ended up at the same hospital,
yeah,
which is
they
fucking
did.
Nuts. It didn't even mention the other one.
Nope, just like I'm fucked up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Fix me. I don't know. I ain't fucking around.
So he's released on bond. The charges were dropped in 98, which is fucked up.
Well, that's because she didn't show up to court.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, she didn't show up to court. She's okay. So fucking freaked out that she just like,
oh wow.
I ain't fucking going.
Wow. So it's fucked up. But it reminds me a little bit of the Ken McElroy thing with the just getting away with shit.
Right.
Man. Just getting away with shit. Now, the city of Port Coquitlam, goddamn.
Coquitlam.
sued Willie Picton for using land zoned for farming as a nightclub and threatened him with some legal action. So,
well, that's fucking bullshit. Don't you know I'm trying to do some charity over here?
So the Piggy Palace Good Time Society lost its charity designation and was disbanded. So that's a shame.
Bummer, dude.
How cool would it have been though to have Pig Destroyer
with cattle decapitation
play there? Those were the first two bands I thought of as being badass,
right?
To play the Piggy
Palace. That'd be fucking hilarious.
So over the course of 3 years, some people at the farm noticed that women that were there as guests of Willie were turning up missing. You know, there was all these drifters there. I mean, just a bunch of fucking pieces of shit hanging around.
Delinquents. People don't know what they're doing with their life. Fucking.
But, you know, he's got money, so he was supplying shit, and he liked having them around. So it was, kind of quite the hangout. In February of 2002, the police searched the property for some weapons that they heard Picton had. Now, this is amazing. You're going to search for some weapons, but you're not going to worry about these women
that are
missing.
Fucking missing and shit. Yeah, dude's like wants to be an informant to try and get off of something or whatever. He's like, well, I know this guy who has all these illegal weapons.
Right.
And it just happened to be him. Well, right. they were kind of onto him anyway. That just gave him a reason to go fucking search the fucking house.
True, true. Yeah, they thought something was up, but that definitely was a reason to go search. And once Willie was in custody, the police then searched the farm for the British Columbia Missing Women Investigation. And that was a commission to investigate the many missing women in that highway of tears that Dr. Vronsky mentioned, which refers to those women, they say about 65 at that time that were missing.
Right.
So a considerable number in that stretch of highway there. So could definitely do a whole episode just on that if you wanted to.
That'd be interesting. I'd learn more about that because I don't know much about that. So.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. Now, in February 2002, Willie Picton is charged with two counts of first-degree murder from evidence found during the search. This was soon followed by three more murder charges, and then more charges mounted until they reached 15. At the time, this was the largest murder investigation in Canadian history. Took the police 2 or 3 years to excavate his fucking property.
I don't even remember how many millions of dollars it cost to fucking do the place.
I think it was 70 million is what it says here. Okay. Something like that.
I knew it was something ridiculously outrageous.
Oh, yeah. 6.5 acres of land, though. That's what was left that he was living on. So that's going to take a bit.
Yeah, and everything they had to go through to get evidence and everything, the conveyor and all that shit.
Yeah, they had to go through quite a bit to try to get this, you know, any sort of evidence they could find. Because that was the problem. He had all these women that were missing, but he had fed them to the hogs, so there was no fucking... There was nothing left, you know, so that's the problem they were having.
Plus the rendering plant and shit. Right. And whatever's left.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they weren't there. Now, May 2005, there were 12 more charges added to bring Willie's total to 27. Excavations of the farm going on until November 2003. Like I said, 70 million. At the time, the podcast that we're doing here, they turned it into a shopping center. So. Right. I guess good come of it.
They did find those buckets in the freezer with the body parts and the heads, though.
Yes, they did.
The heads that were, like, bisected, like, vertically, dude.
Yeah, I thought that was fucked up. I get into that here. We talk about the once they lifted the media ban and all the shit that came out about it. And, yeah, the split in the head. That's the head crazy. Split down the middle. Very strange. Apparently, somebody eventually bought it because for years it was fenced off and there was a lien probably for taxes. So somebody eventually bought it and, like I said, turned it into a shopping center. Forensic analysis, very difficult with the body so decomposed and, you know, what little they found had been eaten on by insects and the pigs. And they used that conveyor belt, like you said, 50 foot long. To sift through shit, try to find stuff.
Meat particles and bone particles or whatever.
They found a lot of teeth. They definitely found a lot of teeth. In a gruesome announcement, the Canadian government said in 2004 that Picton had ground up human flesh and mixed it with the pork that he was selling to the public. So Joe Matheny style.
I was thinking the same thing. Fucking Joe Matheny out there. Let's make some barbecue, boys.
That's right. Warnings were put out to the citizens to discard any meat purchased from Picton. I would think so.
And that was a while, too, afterwards. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's probably already been consumed, which is definitely gross. I did see somewhere that he sold some of it to the local cops, which is kind of funny.
Big fuck you to the cops.
Big time.
Jesus Christ.
Now, he admits himself that he fed the victims to the pigs. There's that one video, it's a couple of parts, but it's got him in a jail cell.
Oh, with the undercover cop.
With the undercover cop that's wired up, and he's talking to him, and man, it's pretty damning. I mean, they go into all of it.
He even actually acts out how he fucking would kill him and shit a little bit, and it's pretty fucked.
It is fucked up, and he talks about taking them to the rendering plant, and that he was going for the even 50 victims, talks about DNA evidence that they have on him, and he was getting sloppy because he was trying to get to 50. Definitely really fucked up. Now, this was a last-minute thing I heard. I don't know if this is true, but I read this.
If it is, it's pretty fucked up.
That when the undercover cop left the cell, Old Willie stripped down naked and jerked off after talking about the murders.
God damn.
Could you imagine being the guard watching that on video? Like, oh my God, he's jerking
doing?
Off.
Are you serious?
After hey. Just talking about that.
It's like, hey, Willie, put your Willie away.
Now, the problem the Canadian government had with the trial was that there were so many witnesses that were prostitutes and drug addicts, they were afraid that the people wouldn't take them seriously.
Yeah.
But years later, DNA would prove the rubber boots and clothes that Picton had were linked with DNA to some of these victims. So the DNA eventually caught up with it. It was discovered years later that a tip had come in about Picton and the murders on the farm in 98, but because the police couldn't get any interest in it from their higher-ups, there wasn't a search done until 2002, so four fucking years later, the Canadian Mounted Police did their search.
Did it over some guns.
Yeah, right. But he was charged in multiple murders, and we've heard this kind of thing before. You know, so many close calls, in some cases, people just totally dropping the ball and not getting these fucking people caught.
Right.
But again, it is easy to do that after the fact, that whole Monday, you know, morning quarterback thing. It's like, yeah, you know, it's easy to say looking back, but maybe in the middle of it, it was hard to see it. I don't know, but you see that a lot.
I'm sure freaking, like you said, trying to get like the prostitutes and stuff to come in to freaking talk to cops and go to the courtroom. They're just like, I don't want anything to do with this business.
Right.
Like, so you know how that shit goes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But Picton denied it. He said he had a freezer on his property that was filled with human meat. He denied it. Let him search the property.
Yeah, gave him permission to search. They didn't find
shit. Didn't even bother. They didn't even bother doing anything about it. So the trial, though, begins in January 2006. He pled not guilty. For the first time, the media ban was lifted, and the public was hearing of the Picton Farm horrors for the first time. And you were talking about this, Chris.
Yeah, like the skulls, like, literally cut, like, down between the eyes all the way through. Fucking.
Yeah. Stuffed with hands and feet, which I thought was weird. The head of one of the victims in a garbage bag, part of a jawbone, teeth, bloody clothing linking him to the victims. I mean, quite a bit of stuff, even though a lot of it was gotten rid of.
Right. You know? Like, small bone fragments and shit, like the jawbone part of shit, I'm sure fucking
right.
easily drop it when you're fucking around with that much gore anyways, between that and slaughtering the fucking pigs.
Right.
Which is how he was butchering these women, like he did the pigs, basically.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was, he knew what he was doing. I mean, he definitely knew what he was doing. People are outraged to hear this kind of stuff, you know.
Of course.
Just shocking, man. It's like reminding me of like the whole Ed Gein thing with, you know, Plainfield, Wisconsin, just this little town, just like
nobody
floored.
Expected that coming out of Ed Gein's quiet ass.
No. So I think that's probably how they were with this, but maybe not quite as shocked because Willie was pretty wild, you know. But once he had that money. Now, this one was good.
Yeah, the fucking rifle.
A 22 caliber revolver, it says.
Oh, yeah, it was a revolver.
With
right.
a dildo attached as a silencer, so.
I don't think that's going to fucking work.
I don't think so either. I think he just fucking
yeah,
liked
like,
the way
oh,
it
I
looked.
Used it for a silencer. Yeah, but you got a big dildo hanging off of that gun, dude. Like, fuck.
Very creative and resourceful, though, but what the fuck? The police found DNA on the revolver that was traced to Picton, one of the victims.
Oh, you know he did vile things with that
thing
on
that gun. Oh, I can't even imagine.
You know he did.
Can't imagine. They found some faux fur-lined handcuffs, handguns, night vision goggles, a syringe with blue liquid, and some Spanish fly.
Spanish fly.
One of Picton's friends testified that Picton told him a good way to get rid of a hooker was to inject her with antifreeze. And I had also heard, like you did, Chris.
Windshield washer fluid.
So I saw both. So I don't know if he used them both or one was wrong. Not sure. Picton also told him how he would strangle the women and string them up before he gutted them and fed their body to pigs. So,
yeah, fucking brutal.
Pretty fucking brutal is right. Now, the court messed up on a couple of things related to the jury. It was a little confusing. One of the jurors was accused of having her mind made up that Picton could not have committed the crime.
Yeah, which is why. Like, before the trial, like, started or whatever, just like, no, he didn't do it. Like, how do you know that? Like,
yeah, very strange. But that was an issue with the jury. And it had to be a fucking circus. You know, they're not used to this kind of crazy shit there. So, but thankfully, eventually, they did find him guilty of 6 of the 49 murders since they couldn't find evidence for any more. Sentenced to life without the chance of parole for 25 years. That's kind of weird the way they do it up there. But they
I'd let that motherfucker out.
No. I don't think he ever will.
No, I don't either.
That's the most strict sentence they give. They don't have just life up there, at least not at the time of this.
Right.
That was the most strict that he could get. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I also don't know how sentences, you know, we talked about last week with Texas. I mean, goddamn armed robbery, motherfuckers getting life.
Life for armed robbery. Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not a fucked up crime, but life, I mean, that's a...
Seems a little extensive.
It does. It does. So it needs to be somewhere in the middle there. Definitely a fucked up crime, though. But, you know, killing women and feeding them to pigs...
That deserves
a fucking life sentence.
Definitely.
At least. His case went through the usual appeals. There was quite a bit of discussion about granting him a new trial, but that didn't go anywhere. And like Peter Vronsky was saying, you know, there was some controversy with him because of these women being Aboriginal, I think that's the word, women, from that area. And so there was a racial kind of overtones there. So there was some political back and forth with it. In June of 2018, he's moved to the maximum security prison in Quebec. So there were some people pretty upset about that, some of the family members.
Like why? I want to know why they moved him.
Right, because they were saying, like, if he gets a new trial or if he gets, like, a parole hearing, it's too far for us to go.
I got it.
So they were pissed that they moved him that far away from everybody. I mean,
makes sense, yeah.
You know, they were upset. And then I did read that it was because it was for his own protection. So he's probably getting people wanting to beat his ass, so go figure.
Well, that's because he didn't take showers. And they don't like that shit in jail and prison, man. No, motherfuckers will throw your ass in the shower and be like...
Well, yeah. Yeah, we did that in basic training with a guy that wouldn't shower.
Yeah.
Fucking scrubbed him with fucking nylon brushes and shit, yeah.
Like, motherfucker, you're going to take a shower, dude.
Oh, yeah, it was disgusting. So there is what's known as the Picton letters that were received by a guy in California in 2006. He claims they are from Picton. An analysis of the stamps and other markings show that it is possibly legit. So it seems like they are, you know, the real thing. In the three letters, Picton claims his innocence, quotes the Bible frequently, and praises the judge of his trial, which is kind of weird,
right?
And other things about the cases against him. So
they always go for religion once they get locked up.
They do. They do. I always think that's funny because it is kind of like, really? Like, you're going to all of a sudden become like this holy roller, you know?
Not always they don't, but most of the time they usually do, and it's pretty fucked up.
Right.
Carla Faye Tucker.
Yeah, Carla Faye probably the most, ridiculous with that whole thing after fucking orgasming
and she's hacking
a motherfucker up with a pickaxe. And now all of a sudden she's, you know, finding Jesus on death row. So who knows? But those are supposedly some letters that were written by Picton. In 2015, a movie called Full Blood came out and was a fictional account of Picton. I have never seen that.
I've never seen it either. Huh?
I think I might want to check that out. Another movie, Killer Picton, was very loose on the facts. There was a book, I didn't read it, called On the Farm. There's also the autobiography.
On the Farm, the ones that some lady, I can't remember her name, as a female that wrote
it. Oh, really?
I believe so. That's got a lot of information in it. I haven't read it, but I know it's got a lot of information in it.
That's cool. I'm sure there is. There's the autobiography that he did, in his own words, it's called. but apparently the Canadians tried to stop the sale of the book because of him being a convicted murderer, and they reached out to Amazon to not sell it. I did not check to see if I could find it, but I think I might just out of curiosity be kind of interesting. Be like Pee Wee Gaskin's book, Final Truth.
The Final Truth.
Final Truth. I watched a few good docs on Picton. Not a lot, though, man, really.
No, yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Yeah. Not a whole lot of documentaries.
Kind of crazy.
One long one, couple short ones, and then interviews.
Yeah, they had the jailhouse interview ones, which are cool. And then the there's a couple good podcasts that are out there you can check out. Some real bad ones, too, man. I couldn't listen to them for more than 5 minutes. Some of them are really awful. There were also some pretty good articles I read. The Wikipedia page, you know, usually a pretty decent summary of what happened.
Give you an idea.
Give you a thumbnail sketch of it, but the details where you got to go. It's amazing to me, as many victims as he had, dude, that he wasn't
one of them. Yeah, it is really fucking... The first time I heard of him, I was like, especially as fairly recent as
it
is.
It's not an old story.
Like,
I mean, it's
getting arrested in 2002, so right. I mean...
Yeah, that's not even 20 years ago.
Right.
So next time now, we've got a couple of options. We've got the potential to have somebody in here with us as a guest. Not sure if that's going to work out. So if that person is here, we'll do one. And if that person's not here, we're going to do the other.
Different until he can get in here to do it with us.
That's right. It's going to be a surprise next week, which killer we're going to do. But either one is going to be
pretty brutal.
Wicked as fuck. So you won't be disappointed, I'm sure. So we're a man down, though, dude, with CK in the hospital. We know that he would want us to forge the fuck on. He did send that picture of himself throwing up the horns.
Hell yeah.
And we sent him one back. He's still in the hospital. But CK, we're going to do our best. And Chris, what are we about ready to do?
Let's get our fucking murder on, man.
Your murder on?
God damn it, I did it again. Metal, man. Jesus Christ. I did it again.
You did. Fuck yeah, man.
Fuck yeah. A fucking morning. Kill
hell yeah. From Atlanta,
Georgia.
Boys. Fuck yeah. Those guys are cool as hell. And always good to see them up this way jamming and shit.
Fuck yeah, it is.
Well, dude, we're down CK, man. We're in metal.
Unfortunately. He's got
and
to
this is pretty rare anymore that we don't have CK here. This is a very last minute thing.
You know it's bad when he doesn't offer to do it from the hospital.
Right.
You know he's not doing so good.
No, he's not. He's definitely. But it was cool. He sent us that picture of himself throwing up the horns. We'll put it on Facebook. But he's definitely hurting. And so the fact that I had this birthday with Alex tomorrow, I couldn't switch it. So we're just going to roll on and do
a little light metal segment here.
That's
today.
Right. A little light metal segment for sure. Now, CK, as we mentioned, is having an issue. He's been battling colon cancer for several years now, as he said. And so he's been just through the ringer with this stuff. Multiple surgeries, multiple rounds of chemo. I don't know how the fuck he does it. But he had an issue here this week with hiccups from chemo. I'd never heard of that before.
Right, and you even went through chemo. So
I had never heard of that before. So that was a new one on me. And he was having some issues, couldn't sleep. So he really sounded tired when I talked to him on Sunday.
Right.
But he was at the Sunday dinner he does with his in-laws and almost collapsed. So they brought him to the emergency room, and his sodium levels were so low that he almost died, very, very close to death. They say it's going to take a few days. Yeah, again, a few days to fix this. And his wife, Laura, is just an incredible person. She did say his color's coming back a little bit. And We did get a short text from him before the podcast, said, sorry, he's missing the podcast.
Hey,
like, dude.
Take care of yourself, come brother. On take now. Care of yourself, man.
Right. So we do know how much the listeners love CK, and so do we, of course. So we only wish him the best and a speedy recovery. So he was going to do Judas Priest this week. The plan is, if everything goes good,
hopefully
he'll be back next week and he'll do it then. Now, the 666 Club, dude, we've been telling people about it. Go to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. We'll link to that in the episode description. $6.66 a month, dude. They're getting some bonus content. They're getting the episodes early. The notes for the show.
Merch reduction, price reduction.
Yeah, deals on merch. I mean, come on now. So go check that out. Patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem. We do appreciate it. And we'll give you some good VIP content for your donation to the cause. Local news, we just found this out
just a couple minutes ago.
Literally, that Bloodshed in the Country 3 that was scheduled for Saturday, August 31st in Colfax, Illinois, is canceled. Officially is canceled.
Due to unfortunate circumstances.
Yes, we're not going to get into that here, but definitely, Chris, you're very right. Very unfortunate circumstances, and we are going to hold off on any comments about that for now, but just wanted to put out, because the guys putting the show together asked us to let you know that the Bloodshed in the Country 3 show is canceled. So
unfortunately.
Very unfortunate.
I was really looking forward to that.
Now, there is some national metal going on. Cannibal Corpse, I saw fucking doing a tour with fucking
Diarda's Murder and I don't remember
Perdition Temple.
Yeah, Perdition Temple, that's right.
So that sounds like a fucking brutal ass fucking
Corpse tour
show.
Would be pretty fucking fun, man.
Yeah, we know, talking to John Jarvis, pretty good time. Looks like Redemption's got a new one out. Lizzie Borden, Behemoth, I'm looking on Metal Blade's new releases. I'm not sure how new the releases are. And then there is a GWAR show coming up, a tour with Sacred Reich. So that should be pretty sick.
Hell yeah, dude. Speaking of Vancouver, I think it was in Vancouver. I read this shit. This lady was walking her dog, looked over her shoulder, and there was a fucking mountain lion standing there.
Oh, man.
And so, like, she's yelling at it, trying to fucking get it run away. And the first thing that she fucking thinks to do is fucking take her phone and play Don't Tread on Me by Metallica, because of the fucking loud noises, and it fucking scared this fucking mountain lion away.
Oh, wow.
Playing fucking Metallica's Don't Tread on Me.
Dude. Oh, that's
how fucking awesome is that?
That's fucking crazy. Wow. So yeah, there's some good reason to have some metal at the ready. You never know when you might need it. So
a little fucking critter deterrent.
Big time.
Or big critter deterrent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because a mountain lion would not be a good thing.
I don't think she's like that dude that choked that one out. You remember hearing about that? He fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy shit.
So yeah, just short metal segment without CK, and we wish CK the best. Get him back in the saddle to kick ass once again. So, dude, I know we got one more good segment to go here.
Yes, sir. Let's get our mayhem on.
Fuck yeah.
You can't burst, but you may be next. The next one to betray.
Hey, Tom, who'd you get to hire to entertain the kids at Billy's birthday party this year?
Pogo and Friends Party Fun. It was a deal. For only $99, they sent out a clown to make the kids laugh and do all sorts of neat tricks, like put on a pair of play handcuffs to see how many kids could get out of them.
Well, that sounds like a blast.
Strange, though. They said it's for only all-boy parties. No girls allowed.
That is weird. Well, hey, I would volunteer to try on the handcuffs and give the kids a real scare.
Call 1-800-POGO-FUN today and book an all-boys birthday party. Stag films are extra, but can always be part of your party experience.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Gotta have pogo those, party fun.
You got to have the stag films, though, man. Shit.
Well, if you're going to do it, you might as well do the right. stag films. Now, we had Flotsam and Jetsam before that. We had to do a little switch since we weren't doing Judas Priest, so we did Desecrator by Flotsam and Jetsam. So, dude, we are in mayhem now. We love being in mayhem.
It's always crazy.
It's always a good stories to be told in mayhem. We've had some real dandies over this year and change that we've been doing the show. And it's funny because, you know, I mean, I've had so many crazy fucking things that have happened. And you know how it is. You just randomly think of one, you know.
Like, oh, yeah, I should tell that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was telling Jenny this story the other night. She's like, that's really funny. You should use that as a mayhem story. I'm like, you know, that would be pretty funny.
Let's fucking check it out. And I haven't heard it. So
you have not heard it. And it's called Coughing with Black and Curly.
Don't sound good.
Now, Black and Curly, as you guys know from a past mayhem segments quite a ways ago, told that story about me and him going to the Red Lobster and having no money and him putting the little Black and Curlies from his pubic hairs in the food and went fucking psycho.
Just went ballistic.
And got us a bunch of free shit. And I don't know how the fuck he did it, you know? So.
I could just imagine your face on that, dude. Just like, yeah. What the fuck is going on?
I was freaking the fuck out, dude. So anyway, so Black and Curly and I, we were roommates. He's really funny. He did a lot of crazy shit over the years. But there was one that I just kind of stood out as just a really funny one. We used to work at the same restaurant when we were teenagers.
Right.
And into our early 20s. And anyway, they used to have these big 50s car shows here at this place. And it was a big deal. I mean, at one time, it was the biggest 50s car show in the country.
Oh, no shit.
So it was a big deal.
I think you've talked about that before, them doing the car shows and shit. Yeah,
it's really cool. So place is packed. I mean, it's just a huge thing. So anyway, there's a TV show, like 2020 or something like that, is going to film the car show.
Oh, no.
So the boss, the owner, Rich, he was really excited about it, you know.
Of course, a national publication. Of course. And shit, dude. Yeah.
You know, big time TV viewership, and he's going to get a big, you know, audience here. And so he was really excited, and he was telling us, you know, look, you guys got to be on your best behavior. Don't fuck this up.
Don't make this place look like fucking bunch of fools. Fucking.
Right, totally. And for some reason, he was looking at me and Black and Curly. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why.
So anyway, he's all pumped up. It's leading up to this thing. It's all he's fucking talking about. It's all he's talking about. He's so excited. So the cruise night happens, and this fucking camera's all over the fucking place.
Right.
And it sucks, because you're already busy.
Yeah,
and now you're trying to work over cords and fucking, excuse me, you know, people in your way and shit. That's funny, too, because that would have been good if they would have gotten, excuse me, folks, on that. I didn't expect that one. But.
That would have been funny.
So anyway. So me and Black and Curly decided that we were going to have some fun with this.
You so, got to, man.
Well, of course.
I mean, the opportunity's there. Fucking take it.
Right. So anytime a camera was near either of us, we did that shit where you say something like a word.
You're stupid.
And you call it, motherfucker. You know, balls in there, you know, shit. Ball liquor, you know, shit like that. Coughing. And every time the camera was near any of either of us, we were doing
that's
that.
That's
fucking, you know,
good.
And it was so busy, Rich didn't even notice. You know, he was just fucking busy. It's just craziness. So anyway, after it was done, he was really excited. You know, went great. Thanks, guys. You know, and all this stuff. So it was about 2 weeks later. 3 weeks later, he calls a little meeting. You know.
Oh no.
And he says, "Hey, I got the." I heard from the, you know, 2020. I don't know if it was 2020, but it was something like
one
that.
One of those, yeah.
And we were all like, you know, and of course, me and Black and Curly are like, oh, shit. You know? And Because we thought it'd be great if you could hear it. You know, like they let it fly like that.
They didn't catch it.
Randomly hear a few of them, you know. That was like our best hope, you know, that was going to happen.
Right.
So anyway, he says, he said, everything looked great. They said that the video was fantastic, looks really good, got tons of stuff we can use. But there's a problem with the audio. They couldn't get the audio to work, you know. So people are like, what's up with the audio? You know, like, why? And he's like, well, you know, it's kind of a long story, you know. He goes, but, you know, it's going to be okay, you know. And so, anyway, everybody's like, oh, okay. So they're like, everybody's like dispersing. And he goes, you two sit down.
No.
Now, when he used to get mad, he fucking had a cigarette in his hand. And his hand would shake, so the cigarette would be shaking and ashes falling. He's like, you two sit the fuck down, you know. And we're like, what? And he's like, you know what? He goes, I heard that fucking audio that they wouldn't play. We're like, what? He says, well, they called me and said that they didn't want to use the audio because it sounded like the whole place was sick. And he's like, what do you mean sick? And he's like, coughing. I was like constantly coughing on the video. So I'm like, I want to see this video. Like,
nobody
was coughing that night. And then I heard you're coughing. You're... motherfucker, you fucking assholes, you know. So they wound up using it, but they had to put like 50s music over the whole thing with a narrator. They couldn't have any of the actual sound of
that's
the fucking restaurant.
Shit.
Yeah,
that's fucking. That's funny, but yeah.
I didn't even think to try to YouTube it to see if it's out there because that would be funny to actually
right.
See the commercial after all these years, but yeah, so
that's funny.
We were coughing on camera, but the owner did not like it very much.
I'm surprised he let you keep your job.
yeah, he was a pretty good dude. He was a trip.
That's fucking so funny.
So yeah, I thought I would share that one with you. Now we've got another Killer Cage match tonight.
Yes, we do.
The rules for the Killer Cage match, of course, we have a list of 60 killers, 60 objects, and we let the audience pick, right, Chris? We let them pick some random numbers,
give
1 to 60.
Give us a number on the Facebook page or whatever. And
that's right. And then we've also got the variable, which is kind of fun.
Tonight's variable is interesting.
I know. I
just noticed what the variable was.
I know, the same thing. So once again, thanks to listeners Barb Martin, Stacy Dudley, and Eric Sisko for the random numbers. And we've got a good one up this week. Chris, who do we have fighting in the cage?
Menendez brothers and Carl Panzram. And I think them Menendez boys might get fucked up, especially with the variable.
Now, Panzram is a badass. For anybody that doesn't know who he is, Chris, what's up?
Yeah, he really liked sodomy with males, like boys, and because like he got a lot of it when he was a kid. So he's just like, this is what happened to me. This is what's going to happen to the world.
Right.
He wanted to destroy the world.
Right. One butthole at a time.
One butthole at a time on a yacht.
So Panzram's going to fuck them up. But we get the objects this time around, Chris.
Got a screwdriver. And a 2-liter bottle filled with stinky, diseased pussy juice.
Nasty. Perfect for Picton, though.
Yeah,
Picton would love it.
Picton probably drink it.
Now, what is the variable this time, dude?
Dude, the variable tips the scales on this like a motherfucker because the variable is Danny Trejo with a pair of brass fucking knuckles. Woo! I would not want to fuck with that shit right there at all.
Yeah, and he's in like his 60s or 70s.
Yeah, and he's still a fucking badass, dude. Jesus Christ.
He is. So, I don't know, dude. This should be a good one now.
Well, I feel like Panzram's going to take out the Menendez brothers. He's going to sodomize them with the screwdriver and the 2-liter bottle.
Oh, damn.
And then he's going to have to deal with Danny Trejo. I don't know. Danny Trejo, I think, could take Panzram because he's a fucking mean bastard. But I don't know. Panzram, he portrays a fucking badass in movies, I guess. But in real life, I mean, he actually did prison time and shit.
Right.
Badass, but I don't know. It's going to go be between Carl Panzram and Danny Trejo. And I don't know, man. I can't call this one. That's a tough fight.
I'm with you. I think Panzram's going to fuck the Menendez brothers up.
Oh, yeah. He ain't got
What I'm almost wondering, though, is if Danny Trejo will be so, like, just disgusted with the Menendez brothers that him and Panzram will fuck up the Menendez brothers.
That's a good
And then
point.
Maybe they'll be like buddies and like go hang out. I don't know.
I don't know. That'd be weird. I don't know. That'd be weird.
Because Trejo's tough. He is older. Got some brass knuckles though, but Panzram is just a fucking animal.
He was a fucking monster.
Don't know, man. That would be like you said, that's a toss up.
I don't know. That's a good fight right there.
So, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Panzram in this one only because of his legendary, you know, the lore of Panzram being such
that
a
he
badass.
Inflicted
the
shit.
Sodomy thing, just fucking savage.
Panzram.
But Trejo's tough too. The brass knuckles, I think, evens the ages out a little bit.
Right.
But I don't know. If I had to make a call, I would say Panzram's going to beat the fuck and sodomize the Menendez brothers, and then he's going to beat up Trejo. He's not going to sodomize him.
Right.
He's going to beat him up at least to where he can get out of the cage.
I think either that or Trejo's just like looking like, I ain't fucking with none of this. I'm fucking out of here, Vato.
Yeah, he might see the sodomy going down and be like, I'm not down with this.
I'm out of here. I ain't get paid enough for this.
So there you go. A little killer cage match. Always love doing those. And thanks again to the listeners for providing those random numbers, because that's what makes it fun. And next week, maybe we'll have to do something different. We like to mix it up now and then.
Maybe CK gets back, do some metal. We do the metal cage match again.
Yeah, that would
maybe
be a good idea,
point.
Man. Metal cage match. So. Yeah. Very cool, man. Well, that was pretty good mayhem stuff. Anything you want to add to that?
Nothing offhand, man.
All right.
Nothing offhand.
That's all right. All right. Well, let's proceed to the outro, man.
Hells yeah.
Horrific
demise.
Brutal, man. Voracious Cravings.
That's the new shit, right?
Yeah, that's the new stuff they got coming out this week on Comatose Music, man.
Yeah,
so
man.
Check that shit out. We just did that interview with Matt Bishop from Horrific Demise. Been in several bands, Lividity, Human Artifacts.
A lot of good death metal.
Yeah, big time. So definitely want to support Matt and the rest of those guys. And go check out that new Horrific Demise album. Bumper music tonight by Flotsam and Jetsam, Aborning, Horrific Demise, and Devourment. Definitely fucking wicked.
Lots of brutalness going on right there.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, CK's intro music, usually we didn't tonight. We like to use Chrysix for that. But no music tonight since CK was not here with us. Hopefully CK will get back in the saddle next week. Get us back on track, talking some Judas Priest. Thanks again, Dr. Peter Vronsky, for his contribution in that Willie Picton segment. Check out his books at petervronsky.com or on Amazon if you're wanting to do it that way. So they're all good stuff. And
definitely.
I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever looked on Audible, if any of his stuff is on there.
The one that you bought.
Oh, The Serial Killer, The Method and Madness of Monsters.
Yeah,
it is,
yes.
That's cool.
Definitely go check out the Psycho Killer Bobbleheads.
That's right.
.com. Get you some badass bobbleheads. They're fucking awesome.
Right.
T-shirt.
We got some out, of course, always on the table tonight. I added a new thing. It's not a Psycho Killer, but it's a King Diamond little figurine, like an action figure.
Yeah, kind of like the Slayer Minotaur.
That's right. Except he's got the bone, the crucifix mic stand.
Yeah, that's fucking sweet.
Horns up, and then his old Merciful Fate makeup with the inverted cross and shit.
Fuck yeah.
So we got King Diamond out here with the Psycho Killer bobbleheads, but those are great. PsychoKillerBobbleheads.com, so go check that out. Thanks everybody listening. We mentioned earlier how many different people checking this out. Just fucking amazing. Got some good comments out there this time, Chris. You want to read the first one?
Billy Ray should die. What did Billy Ray do? First of all, what did Billy Ray do?
That's not very nice, you know.
Billy Ray should die says, love that you had Tex on the Texas 7 episode. That was awesome. Yeah, that was really great, dude.
Yeah, it was really good to have him on there. So knowledgeable about the subject. And that story is just a good one with that escape. So that's cool, Billy Ray. I hope you dig that shit. Rhonda Silver commented, you guys are seriously the best thing to ever come to podcasts. Wow.
Okay.
This shit is hilarious. Love the grandfather stories.
Lots of people seem to like the grandfather stories.
Man, I got more compliments about those grandfather stories than I expected. I really did not think that they were that funny to people outside of my family. So that's really cool.
Fucking funny as hell.
That's cool. So I'm glad that you like that, Rhonda. And always got good stories to tell here, of course, in the Mayhem segment. So.
Hell yeah. And then Fist of Fury 71's commented, those Mayhem stories are great. I really love it when Joey Gormonger is on the show with you. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He's always coming up with some good ass shit. Oh,
hell
yeah,
dude.
Man. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, like the one where the smoke in the background from the car.
Trucks on fire and shit.
Fucking epic, man.
Imagine, dude.
Good stories. So, yeah, we always love having Joey on here with us, and it's good to see listeners that dig it as well. And then this one, Devil in Your Mom's Ass. Wow.
Ooh,
commented, you guys are the fucking best. So we appreciate that very much. Don't forget to check out MurderMetalMayhem.com. Listen to all our episodes and bonus content. Also, go check out the Murder Metal Mayhem YouTube channel and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Get Your Murder On and like us on Facebook. Join that 666 Club. Support the podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem.
We appreciate all that support. Help us out.
Definitely.
Get the show going better for you guys.
Definitely. Buy some new equipment, things that will help us make the show better. You can also go to PeteAltieri.com if you want to get one of my books. Don't miss next week because we're not sure which one we're going to do.
Yeah,
we've got two that we're on the fence on, and it depends on our guest. So if we have the guest, it'll be one. If we don't, it'll be the other. But both will not disappoint. They're
definitely
both
not.
Wicked as hell. We can't let him go, though, without hearing a brand new karaoke song. This one was done a couple of months ago when Joey was over here one Saturday with me or Sunday. And we thought it would be perfect to do a Picton episode and use this. So it was funny because Picton was on the list but not on the schedule of episodes. And I'm like, oh, God, we got to get him on there now.
Just to get this song
just
going.
Just to play this one because it's a good one. Joey and I do a Spinal Tap song just for the Stinky Pig Farmer. So
boom.
Until next time, keep one foot in the gutter.
And your fist plowing through a pile of pig shit.
6 farm, trying to raise a mother. Getting down my pitchfork, poking your hay,
scratching in your hen house, sniffing at your feed bag,
slipping out your back door.
Leave it by spray.
6 farm running, I'm gonna mow you down. 6 farm.
can hold you down.
Sex bomb woman, don't you see my shadow rising high, high, high? Working on a sex bomb, closing down your barn door, bothering your livestock. They know what I need. Working up a hot sweat, crouching in your pee patch, plowing through your pea field, planting my seeds. Sex farm woman, I'll be your hired hand. Sex farm woman, I'll let my offer stand. Sex farm woman, don't you hear my tractor rumbling? Bye, 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 bye. Sex farm, trying to raise some hard love. Getting out my pitchfork, poking your hay.
Man, Joey, did you ever work on a sex farm before? I mean,
no, no. This will be my first one, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some fucked up jobs, but never worked on a sex farm, actually.
No, but Rob Reiner said that we needed to come out and, you know, get a little employment in a sex farm. You got to go.
Mother, man.